text tonight, but let me mention this. If you still would like to join us for Bible study college classes this week, it'll be a Wednesday 3 to 5 and Saturday 1 to 3. We are on the subjects of homiletics and on the subject of bibliology, study of where your Bible came from. So if you'd like to join us this week, you can. And so we'll keep that in mind. Brazil Bible Project, as far as with our matching funds, we're at 3403.16. So let's keep praying about that. Just pray God will bless that. And the rest of that will come in. Ladies Retreat is October 7th and the 8th in Lawrence, Kansas. I'll have some more details on that for you this week, but it's a sign-up sheet in back on that. If you're planning to go to that, ladies, there is a sign-up sheet in back. Please do see that sign-up sheet and remember that if you would. All right, Genesis chapter number 3 in your Bibles. How many of you brought your King James Bible? You're holding in your hand the Word of the living God. Amen? The Word of the living God. Genesis chapter 3, let's begin with verse number 1 in God's Word. Genesis chapter 3, and let's begin with verse number 1 in God's Word. The Bible says here, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the woman said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman that whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Let's pray tonight. God, thank you for the Bible tonight. And Lord, I pray that tonight you just give us something from your word tonight that we can take with us this week. I ask tonight that you would use thy word in each one of our hearts and our minds. Lodge the truth, we pray, within the recesses of our heart. Tonight we ask, and help us, I pray, in this passage of Scripture, in Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice something about this passage of Scripture that I noticed this week about Eve. The Bible reminds us here about Eve in Genesis chapter 3, Satan had come to her, and he had questioned the Lord, as you know, and said, yea, hath God said that? Did God really say that? Did God really say it? Did he mean what he said? And I want you to notice what Eve's reaction was in verse 2. It says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I want you to notice the detail at which Eve knew what was right to do. Did you notice how detailed she was? She said to the serpent, she said, devil, she said, God said that we can eat of all the trees in the Garden of Eden. Isn't that what she said? That's what she said. And then he goes to verse 3, and she says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. Now, there was no ambiguity about what tree he was talking about, right? So Eve knew exactly what tree that she was not supposed to eat of, right? She knew exactly which ones she could eat of, and she knew exactly which one and she said it is one specific tree. And she knew that it was one specific tree that God said you can't eat of that one tree. All right, now look at it further. And it says, ye, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Now notice the next phrase, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now notice how detailed her understanding is of what God had told her. She knew all the other trees she could eat of, but one specific tree, they were not only not to eat of it, but God said that you should not even touch that tree. Don't even touch it, God said. Now, let me ask you, do you think it was clear in Eve's mind? Do you think it was very clear what she was supposed to do and what she was not supposed to do? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? She knew exactly what tree not to eat. She knew what trees that she could eat. And of the tree that she couldn't eat of, she knew exactly that God said, don't even touch that tree. So there was no question about it, right? There was no ambiguity about it at all. All right, now go with me, if you would, at verse number 6. Now here we are, 3 verses later, and it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she, what? Took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, if it's so clear in her mind exactly what God told her to do and exactly what God told her not to do, then can you explain to me 3 verses later why Eve goes and she doesn't just touch the fruit, but she takes that fruit and she eats a bite of that fruit, and then she gives it to Adam. 3 verses later. In verse 3, it's clear as crystal in her mind exactly what she should and shouldn't do. But in verse 6, she goes completely against exactly what she knew that she should and should not do. And she partook of that fruit and ate of it. Now, I want to give you some thoughts tonight on this subject, on this idea of how God takes people who know what's right to do and how the devil gets them to do the wrong thing. How is it that sometimes we know very clearly what to do, and we know very clearly what not to do, but in the same voice, there is Eve, and she partakes of that fruit. And I want you to see how the devil works on good people. Can I remind you some things about the devil? Take your Bible with me and go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We're going to look at some verses here, and we're going to look at the character Satan. Acts chapter 26. Are you still with me? All right. Acts chapter number 26. And we're going to look at verse number 18. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. And I'll get there very quickly as soon as I can turn my fat little fingers to that page. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. There it is. Notice, a characteristic of Satan is verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about this verse is that Satan has power. Satan has power. Notice, it says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the what? The power of Satan. Satan does have power. He does. And his power is only allowed by God in this life. Number two, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians and number 4. And I want you to notice another characteristic about Satan in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. And notice what it says. In whom the god of this world, little g, that's Satan, in whom the god of this world, here it is, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the same characteristic is that he can blind the mind. Satan has power. Secondly, he can blind a mind. Are you still with me? Now go to 1 Peter chapter number 5 with me. The book of 1 Peter, just back a few more pages. Book of 1 Peter chapter 5, and notice verse number 8. And notice this verse. The Bible reminds us here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, the third thing here I want you to see about Satan is that Satan is walking about trying to devour us. I want to tell you something. Satan's active at this, especially in this day and age. Boy, there is a satanic undercurrent in this world. And may I tell you what? God's people ought to know the devil, know your enemy. One of the things they teach you in the army that I'm told is that you've got to know something about your enemy, because you got to know how he's going to attack you. And so we see he has power, he can blind a mind, and he is seeking to devour. Now go with me also to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, back just a few pages, 2 Corinthians and chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse number 14. The Bible reminds us here, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So notice, there's some people think the devil walks around with a red suit and a pitchfork and smells like smoke. No. The only way you're going to smell like smoke is if you go over by the Means house tonight from that burning fire over there. That's the smell of smoke. But the Bible tells us that the devil, he has an appearance as an angel of light. He's going to appear good. He's not going to appear ugly. He's not going to have a pitchfork. He's going to come to you. He's going to make himself look good. He wants to have an appearance like he is the light. But notice, he transforms. He changes himself. He's a chameleon. He's a chameleon. And he changes his form to make you think he looks good. So again, he blinds the mind of men. He has power. He seeks to devour a Christian. And he has a good appearance. Now, go with me back to Genesis chapter number 3. And I want to show you the characteristics of Satan. Now, how does Satan work? The Bible in this passage teaches us how Satan tries to get good people to do the wrong thing. And here's what he does. It's not what's right. It's that he uses his characteristics on us. Are you listening? He uses his characteristics on us to cause us not to listen to what God said. I want you to notice some things here. Notice, first of all, my first point is that Satan is going to question God to weaken your strength. Satan's going to question God. Notice what he said there in verse number 1. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? Did God mean what he said? Maybe you heard God wrong. And all he's trying to do is to get you to weaken your heart. Just to get to weaken inside.
Inside.
See, when a question mark is in your mind, you become weak. When an exclamation point is in your mind, you become strong. I like to say, in fact, here's what it does. It's like saying, hath God said, question mark? That puts a question mark there that weakens us inside. Or I could say, God said it, exclamation point. What does that do? That creates strength in your heart. That creates strength in your mind. And so that's the first thing that Satan's got to do. He's got to question God. And boy, God really doesn't mean what he says. Or did God really mean what he says? Let me tell you something. Eve knew very clearly what God said. There was no question about it. She wasn't ambiguous about it at all. She knew what God had told her to do. But Satan came along in all his characteristics and tried to get her to turn away from God, even though she knew what was right. Let me tell you something. Right there in verse number 1, this woman should have looked at Satan and said this, Satan, get out of here. Or she should have said, Satan, I'm leaving. You know what you do when Satan comes around, starts to question God? You better get out of there. You better get out of there. You better run like run like Joseph at Potiphar's house. Put on your running shoes and get out of there. Don't ever let Satan use his characteristics to cause you to know and turn from what you know is right. He's trying to just get you to weaken you a little bit. Weaken you a little bit. It's no big deal. It's not that bad. Did God really say it? Maybe you misunderstood God. Maybe you misunderstood. I want to tell you something. The devil would love to make everything God said cloudy. And by the way, that's why I'm against these new Bibles today. Because they don't put the exclamation point in there. They put the question mark there. Read them. Well, maybe don't read them. Amen? So that's how Satan works. He's going to question God, and the purpose of the questioning is to get you to weaken. Turn your exclamation point to a question mark. Are you with me tonight? So that's the first thing the devil does. I want to tell you something. There ought to be something in your heart that says, God said it in his word. It is true. and I'm going to hold on to it dear, and it's going to give me a revival in my heart, and it's going to give me strength, and I don't need to go to anything else. I don't need question marks. I just need exclamation points. Boy, see, the devil's just trying to get us to weaken our resolve. He can't get you to turn away from God unless he can weaken you a little bit. Well, I'll tell you, the devil will do that. You know, the devil will come to a teenager, and teenager will like the wrong kind of music. The wrong kind of music, and a teenager will say, oh, I like that kind of music. And so the teenager then will say, you know what? Is it really that bad? The question mark will come up. See, Satan appeals to our flesh to get us to weaken so that we can then become prey for him. Eve knew what was right to do, but Satan just had to weaken her resolve to do right and to know what right was in order to end up causing her to take of that fruit. All right? Secondly, notice the second thing. Satan makes you think God is keeping something good from you. Satan makes you think that God's keeping something good from you. Notice, if you would, verse number five. For God doth know, this is Satan talking, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. That's the word observant. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, you don't want to get too spiritual, because if you do, you're going to miss some really wonderful things out there in this world. I've heard that when we were raising our kids. We'd have people say, oh, you can't shelter your children too much. You can't shelter them too much. You got to let them see the ways of the world. By the way, the preaching of the word will teach them the ways of the world. Get them under preaching. They'll learn the ways of the world under good old-fashioned preaching. They'll learn, and they'll learn to avoid those things in the world. A fear of God will be put in them. And then when old Satan comes up, boom, they're going to recognize, whoo, that's the way of the world. But I want to tell you something. Satan's always going to keep you thinking that he is withholding something good from you. Let me tell you something. Did Satan give something good to Samson? No, Samson ended up grinding at the mill with his eyes put out. See, Satan told him, you're missing something good. You're missing something good. Boy, you don't need to go to that dry, dusty little church down there on the corner. Boy, Satan is tricky. Satan has got, he wants to make you think you're missing something good. Let me tell you something. I've missed some things in life. Let me tell you what I've missed. I've missed beer parties. I've missed waking up drunk. I have missed coming home and I actually, my paycheck wasn't spent on the liquor beer party that whole night. I've missed out, folks. You all ought to pray for me, because I got it rough. I got it horrible. I just missed out on all those things. Brother Murphy tells a story when he was running from God. He was a rebel, and he got out from church one Sunday night. He ran out. The first person ran out. Got to watch out for the first person out the door at church. But he ran out and he got in his car and he went out and he spun his car tires mad at the preacher and flipped his car. He said, my car was sitting on the hood right in front of the church and all the church people were coming out looking at my tires spinning around upside down on my old 72 Nova. You know, the devil makes you think you're getting something bad when you serve God. Hear me. Let me tell you something. I've never had somebody come to me and say, preacher, I wish I hadn't served God. But I've had some people come to me and say, preacher, I wish I would have served God. I wish I would have. Because see, all the devil wants to do is to get you to think that you're missing something by serving God. You know what? The truth is you have missed something. I have never had a drug overdose. Amen. I had a drug problem when I was a kid. My dad drugged me to church Sunday morning. He drugged me Sunday night. Drugged me back to church on Wednesday night. That joke is old. You don't even laugh anymore. But isn't it horrible? I have missed all of that. I've missed all the diseases of the world. How horrible. Awful. I've missed the addiction of alcohol. It's rough. Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me because I've just missed out of drunken parties. And now it's so horrible because now I don't have to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's horrible life. I wish I could go sit there and talk to all these other people who have problems about their drinking too. I wish I could be there. I've just missed out so bad. It's so horrible. Huh. I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. The devil's trying you to think you missed something. I heard a shocking story about a young Christian boy one time who wanted to taste the world. He got out and he hired some whore, some harlot for one night. One night. He thought it was going to be a fun night. He woke up the next morning, and on the mirror was these words written in lipstick: "Welcome to the world of AIDS." I tell you what, the devil wants you to think you're going to miss something good, but I got news for you. When you follow him, that's when you're missing something good. But it's the devil's trick. And oh, God's people need to be smart, because the day will come. And you know, a pastor doesn't have a magic wand. And people come to me sometimes, and there's even people not in our church that come to me, and their life is so messed up. And I give them the answers and the ingredients, and for some reason they just can't grab it. Because that devil's blinded that mind. His power has worked in their mind, and they cannot even see how they need to go. And they're just held by Satan. And that's exactly what he wants you to do. The devil says, if you're a Christian, you won't have any freedom. No, if you live in this world and you live for the devil, that's where freedom is lost. That's where you lose your joy, your purity, your happiness. That's where you gain all the baggage of life that you have to drag with you till the day you die. Oh no, it doesn't do you good to serve the devil. It's a blessing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, that's the devil's trick. He uses his deceptive character on us. Number three, he appeals to your pride to weaken your resolve. Now notice verse 5. Notice what he did here. Or verse 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food." She didn't know that before. She thought it was bad. But now she thinks it's good for food. "And that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to" what? "Make one wise." Oh, if you just follow the devil's way, you'll be smart. You'll be wise. Woo! You're going to be Mr. Smarty Pants. Oh, you're going to be so intelligent. If you just learn the world's ways, you're going to be wise. Let me tell you something. The Bible teaches us to be wise about what is good and simple concerning that which is evil. Bible tells us, I don't want to know what evil. Let me tell you something. I don't want to know what they do down at the gay pride march. I don't want to know. I don't want to go down there. I don't want to breathe the air going on down there. I don't want to know it. I want to be dumb, stupid, ignorant about evil. I don't want to know anything about it. Amen. I'll tell you what I want to know. I want to know more about the Lord. I want to know more how to please Him. But oh, listen, the devil will tell you, come along with me. I'll make you Mr. Smarty Pants. All it is a hook. All it is a hook to reel you in to where He's got you in His grasp and in His control. And you know, the world says, break free and be free. They're not free. They're the servants of sin. They're enslaved to sin. You ask that person who, I asked a person one time about, they were a chain smoker. And she said, you know what? I could quit any time. It wasn't 5 minutes. She was digging in her purse for another cigarette. Let me tell you something. The character of the devil is always to deceive. The beast of the field was more subtle than any other creature. He slips in under the rug. He comes through the back door. And he's going to make you think, boy, if you just do this wrong, you're going to be Mr. Smart. Did Eve end up being smart? No. You know what it got her? Pain in childbirth. Boy, that was a smart decision, wasn't it? That's what it got her. Doesn't sound too smart to me. See, Satan is just wanting to weaken your resolve to serve God. I don't know about you, but every Christian ought to have times in their life where they've strong resolve in their heart. I'm not going to serve the devil. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to do those things that the devil wants me to do. I got some resolve, because the devil is always working on your resolve. You know why Daniel was so blessed? You know, Daniel is one character in the Bible. Nothing bad's ever happened to Daniel. God blessed Daniel greatly. And it goes back to Daniel chapter 1, when they came to him and said, now we've got some meat here we want to give you. This is the king's meat, and you're just going to start eating this meat. And he looked at him and said, oh, no, I'm not. He said, yeah, this is meat. This is good for you. You're going to have it. And he said, sir, I'm not going to touch your meat. He had some resolve in him, didn't he? He said, I'm not going to do it. No, not happening, devil. And he said, all right, I'll tell you what. Give us vegetables, which they called pulse in the book of Daniel. Feed us vegetables, which was their dietary law. And we're going to eat these. We're going to take these vegetables and see. After a few days, they were wise and intelligent. You know why? Because they did what was right, not followed the king's idea of what was right. Oh, the devil's trying to deceive. He appeals to your eyes. He's just trying to make you a weakling of a Christian. He's trying to make you a spiritual wimp. He's just trying to take your backbone and make it yellow. That's all Satan is doing. Oh, Christians need to be wise about it. Christians need to be wise about it. He's trying to weaken your resolve. Number four, are you still with me? Y'all listen pretty good tonight, I'll be honest with you. Pretty good. Number four, he appeals to your eyes to make you feel good. He appeals to your eyes to make you feel good. Notice verse 6. And when the woman, what? Saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was, what? Pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit. She knew what God had already said, but she said the devil had appealed to her feelings. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. That's my Frank Sinatra imitation. Feeling. Can I tell you what? Christians live too much based on feeling. Well, it just feels good. That doesn't mean it's right. It feels right. You know why people take drugs and dope? Because they're trying to feel good. You know why people start with alcohol? They're trying to feel good. After a while, it chains them down, and they lose the good feeling because they're chained. I'll tell you something. Satan is always trying to appeal to the eyes because he's trying to make you feel good. Boy, if you just do this, it will feel good. No. Don't you think Daniel thought, well, man, if I eat the king's meat, that'd probably taste pretty good. But he didn't swallow that hook, did he? He kept doing what God wants. Oh, listen, hear me, Christian. Just keep doing what God wants. Just keep doing. Don't tear down your resolve. Don't weaken your strength. Don't get your eyes on what appeals to the eyes. Because Satan is desiring to make you feel good in all that he wants. Number five. He gets you then to get others to agree with you to weaken your ability to overcome. Notice what he did, or what she did. Look at the last part of verse 6. Now Eve took of the fruit, and it says here, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. But then what did she do? And gave it unto her husband. Weak, spineless little boy, he was henpecked, wasn't he? Eve said, here, honey, take you this fruit. He knew what was right, too. He should have looked at her and said, woman, what are you eating that fruit for? Well, it looked really good. God has said. Oh, that wouldn't fit into our world today, would it? You're just a wife, a mean white husband. You're just a husband meanie. You just beat your wife. You're just a horrible person. Standing for right isn't horrible. Standing for right is good. Standing for right is what we should do. See, Here's the trap, and this is probably one of the biggest traps of Satan, is that she gave it to Adam. Adam ate of the fruit, but think of this. When she finally wanted to come to her senses and say, oh, Lord, what have I done? She could justify her actions by saying, you know what? I guess Adam did it too. Oh, doesn't the devil want everyone to say, he wants you to determine right and wrong based on what everybody else is doing instead of what his word says. Well, must be okay because everybody else is doing it. Oh, hear me. Right and wrong are never determined by what other people are doing. Right and wrong is always determined by what God said in his word. And God's people need to have a heart to say, that's what it says, and that's what I'm going to do in my life. I'm resolved to serve the Lord. I'm not going to follow these fake ideas. I'm not going to follow the easy path. Those three Hebrew children could have said, you know what? I think we'll go ahead and bow to that idol just so that it makes our road a little smoother. Listen, there's a lot of Christians doing that today. Whatever's easiest. I'm going to tell you, some things that God tells us to do are not always easy, especially when we face pressure from other people who are doing the same thing. Go ahead and take of it, Adam. It's no big deal. I ate it. I ate the fruit. Just go ahead and take it. Well, I guess if you're doing it, then I'll do it. And I wonder if that was part of their son's problem, Cain. They saw that mom and dad didn't do right. So they said, well, if they're not going to do right, maybe I guess I don't have to. Oh, hear me tonight. Right or wrong is not determined by what anybody else does. It's determined by what God's word says. And we ought to be resolved in God's word. Do you have that resolve? Story is told of that monkey. That monkey who would go up and smack the head of the snake and jump back, and then he'd cackle at the snake. The snake didn't do anything. And he'd jump over to the snake and get real close and he'd smack it on the head and he'd jump away. He thought he was funny, and the snake just sat there real placid. He reached over to that snake. Boop! You dumb snake, I'm faster than you. But as he was doing it, he didn't realize it, but he was inching closer and closer to the snake. And when the snake appeared like he would do nothing, the monkey got closer and closer and closer. And you know, a lot of Christians are like that monkey. They just inch closer and closer to it, and they think everything's going to be just fine. Until one day, that snake sprang with all he had and took that little monkey and squeezed the life right out of that monkey. All because he thought it'd be okay to play around with that. I want to tell you something. Don't play around with sin. Don't play around with wrong. You may get by with things for a little while. For a little while, everything may be going fine. But I want to tell you, one day that snake's going to spring. And he's going to get a hold of your life. And before long, he'll pull the life right out of you. I'm simply saying tonight, the devil, these are his characteristics. That's the way he works. It's the way he operates. And he's not going to change. He's been what he is, and he will continue to be what he is throughout all of eternity. He's not going to change. He's trying to weaken your resolve. He's trying to get you to think things differently. He's trying to make you feel good. And boy, as long as you feel good about doing wrong, the little monkey thought it was funny. But I'm going to tell you something, wrong got a hold of him one day. I'm going to tell you something, young person. Don't get mixed up in the world. When the first sign of Satan's actions come up to you, run. Run. Don't try to reason with Satan. He's been tempting people for 6,000 years. He's better at it than you are. And even though Eve knew what was right, 3 verses later, she ended up taking of that fruit. See, we're no match for Satan. We just have to run from him and run to God and his word. This old book will still defeat Satan. Amen? Well, I think every teenager ought to have some verses in their mind ready for date. Satan. I like that verse. When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Have you got that in your mind? Because the devil, you're going to have some friend, quote unquote, By the way, if you have a friend that gets you to do wrong, they're really not your friend. They really aren't. But that friend will come up and say, hey, come on, let's go do this. It's fun. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. There are a few things that are okay and fun in life. But when God in his word says, hey, don't do it, God's people ought to hear God and listen and do what God says and say no to Satan. You know, one thing that's missing in our independent Christianity today is backbone. I mean, we used to have preachers preach hard and heavy, and man, people say, yeah, that's right, I'm going to follow it. And the first time sign of temptation that came up, they remembered that old leather-lunged, hard-nosed, pointed-fingered preacher. They remembered. And they said, no, I'll not fall for one. God blessed their life and used them. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Do what God wants you to do. And remember something. The devil's seeking whom he may devour. And he's not going to get you to jump into the wrong thing overnight. He's going to take it incremental steps of your thinking. Little ways. Question marks. Is it really that good? Is it really okay? Maybe I'm missing something in this world. Hear me tonight. Hear God. And don't fall for it. Now I'm speaking to someone tonight. Someone tonight. That old devil's sitting on your shoulder. He's sitting on your shoulder, and boy, he's telling you everything that feels good to hear. But you know what you ought to do? You ought to say tonight, dear Lord, I'm not going to listen to the devil. I'm going to put some resolve in my heart. I'm not talking about just Sunday. I'm talking about Monday and Tuesday. I'm talking about Wednesday and Thursday and Friday night. I'm going to put some resolve in my heart. I'm going to do right. I'm not going to do it. Boy, you will feel wonderful. That resolve in your heart. Oh, let's do it. Let's bow our heads tonight.